This is a podcast about living out of intimacy, a conversation over coffee about a living God whose desire is to live out of you. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us.
I'm Jason.
I'm Johnny.
And this is Coffee and Conversation. So many of you have heard the voices on just the podcast.
Yes.
But very rarely have they seen the faces of...
They kind of saw the faces when we did the fireside chats, but it was a little dark.
A little dark outside, cold, got a fire going. It's kind of breezy. Good stuff anyways.
We're sitting in Jason's kitchen today. we just had some jambalaya. It was good.
Made some jambalaya last night, and we had it for dinner tonight. JT brought the cornbread. Is that the buttermilk cornbread that you make?
Yeah.
Well, he makes it from scratch on how he does it, but he does it. And it is delightful. We got buzzing going on.
We're going to pray that the caffeine doesn't affect Jason and he can sleep tonight because he's got to work tomorrow.
Something's about to blow up.
Do what?
I said something's about to blow up and good. Technology, man.
Yeah.
Now listen, I'm just now figuring out that I can turn on my phone with my watch.
Yep.
Camera.
Take pictures.
Man, we're living in a Star Trek age.
Yeah, because what you don't see on the video is the computer you'll see me look off to to the left here that's sitting in a chair that's recording this for iTunes.
And then
there's
true.
Two cameras at the far end of the table. The soundboard, you make and see it. And then we have our computers, and Jason has his phone sitting
here. Yeah, we're in the Casa de Goodson tonight for sure. And we set up some stuff here. I've got JT's coffee right here. If you need a great bag, 1 pound coffee, or tell them what you got, man. As much as you want. You can get us.
We got water processed decaf.
The decaf is in. Get some.
Yes.
Yes.
We got the Calvin Roast.
My favorite.
It's Costa Rican, high in caffeine. As it says on the label, warning, may make you a hyper-Calvinist.
May make you hyper.
We have the Dark Roast, a Sumatran. Call it the Total Eclipse Roast since I started up in this year of a total eclipse.
That was good.
Because we like our eclipses like we like our coffee like we like our eclipses. Totally dark.
Don't like to frou-frou it up too much.
No.
You got to have a little taste. Got to have a little taste of the coffee and the bread. Listen, I am, like, if I could say this, I am fired up about tonight.
Yeah. I'm
I really
fired
am.
Up and
are you cautious at the same
cautious
time?
Cautious at the same time. The goat may come out quite a few times if you haven't heard about our screaming goat. In case if we think we're about to get controversial, you'll probably hear
several times.
Yeah.
The goat is a part of the podcast now, and we do welcome you in and glad you're with us. And JT, I'm just going to start off with this. I am here lately. You know, it's not out of have to, of course, but my reading of scripture, you know, I don't know. It's just been, I can pick up the Bible and read it just like I'm reading the Larry McMurtry novel right now. And I am in a Larry McMurtry novel. I'm reading and starting off the Lonesome Dove series again. But I'm reading and I enjoy it. And it's not out of a have to or get to or, you know, it's a get to thing for me more than it is a have to thing.
Now, here's what's funny with me. I can't do that.
Yeah, I know.
I could. When I first became a Christian, I could. There was this desire on the inside just to read scripture. And then the law told me that I had to read scripture or God wasn't going to be happy. And the law killed that desire. And you'd think that would have come back once I realized, hey, this is not a have to. Well, no. And now the times that I can sit and read the Bible is when we get into something like this and we're looking at something.
Right.
And we're going to do a podcast or something. Then it comes alive. If I sit down and just try to read it, it's death.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. I like that. It's good. I think people approach the Bible that way sometimes. They don't feel like they can interpret it. They don't feel like they can understand it. They don't feel like, oh, is this going to apply to me? Am I going to get something out of it? If I don't feel it today, then I'm not doing it right, you know?
Yeah.
The scripture is not designed for you to be that way.
No.
It's not designed to be that way. And if God is leading you to open up your Bible and read it on a daily basis, great.
Yep.
Right? And if it's not, then don't beat yourself up over it. You know, one of the things I've been enjoying doing here lately is posting some of the stuff that I'm reading.
Yeah.
Now, you'll see a lot of people post scriptures. And a lot of the scriptures I see posted are like, beware. You know, here comes this. Here comes, you know, we're in the, you know, the last evil times are coming, you know.
The eclipse is here.
you know, and we've been in the last days since the resurrection. I don't know if people realize that or not.
Paul knew scripture better than any of us ever will know.
I know it.
And he thought everything had happened in prophecy for Jesus to come back.
To come back already. Yes.
When he was alive.
Exactly right.
So
I'm not going to beat myself up and waste a whole lot of time on whether or not this is the end or not. And if it is, great. You know, I know where this guy sitting right here and where this guy sitting right here is my family. I know where they're going. I know the relationship with God that they have. And it's a relationship, but it's, you know, when we talk about scripture, it's something that we have two totally different approaches on it, but God just reveals himself in the strangest of ways sometimes.
That's because scripture's not ink on pages for us.
Right.
It's life. And whether I sit down and read it every day or think on it, what there is of it in my mind.
Right.
Or we come to do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to sit in there reading 9 chapters of Genesis at 2:00 this morning and finally had to stop because my head was hurting.
Oh, wow.
But, and I think this probably ties into what we're talking about today. And
I think so too.
I keep thinking about why we do this podcast, what I was telling you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do this podcast so you can be a better Christian.
No. Nope.
I told Jason this illustration. I said, there's a mountain in Mississippi.
Mm. This is good.
Did anybody have any clue that there was a mountain in Mississippi? It's called Wood Owl Mountain. It's the highest point in Mississippi. All of 800 feet high.
That's it, huh?
800 feet above sea level.
It's a tall mountain.
But it's a mountain. And when I was a kid, we went and drove up on top of it and stood up on top of it. And what I could have said, I don't need to know anything else about the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to see another mountain. I've seen a mountain. There's nothing more.
There's nothing more
I need to understand. This mountain showed it me everything I need to know. No. There was Christ, with an intimate relationship with Christ, there's always a taller mountain, a more beautiful mountain that we hadn't seen
yet. That's right.
And it's constantly a different mountain, another mountain, a bigger mountain, a more majestic mountain as we get as we get to know him more and more.
Right.
And that's why we do this podcast.
That's right.
Because we know there's bigger mountains out there.
That's right.
And it breaks our heart to see somebody settle for Woodall Mountain and that be their goal.
Woodall Mountain should not be your goal. But I'm going to tell you, you know, I remember the vacations that my dad took us on and going to the mountains. We went to the mountains a lot growing up. We were not beachgoers. But the funny thing, and what you're saying is this, is I've seen some pretty majestic mountains. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Physically, I've seen them. But what we're talking about is on the intimacy side of a relationship with God, where you don't have to be scared to enjoy the mountains that you're on, you know, because a lot of people, I was a kid, I'd crawl, we'd take them trails and I'd be right against the wall.
Yeah.
I don't want to see over the edge. I didn't want to see over it. It scared me. But it's totally different now, man, because it's a wide open relationship with God. It's so good.
Because, and the level of intimacy that's possible.
Yeah.
Oh.
Another thing is we don't have a, you know, we don't have 12-step formulas. We don't have 10-step formulas. We don't have 2-step formulas. We're just giving you what we know in our relationship with God and telling you, you don't have to be just like us, but man, you need to go and seek and read and just enjoy God for who he is.
Go ask God to show you who he is.
Absolutely.
I dare you to.
That's a great one.
That's the only to-do thing I would ever give you. And believe what he says in Scripture about who he's made you as a Christian.
There's a thing right there. Yeah. So here we go. I just posted intro. I just posted a scripture verse. It was on July 4th, and I don't know if I post it every year or somehow referring to this verse every year on July 4th. It was for freedom that Christ made us free, right?
Yes.
But if we read it, you know, from the New King James Version, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again by the yoke of what?
Bondage.
By the yoke of bondage." Okay. You had a great question there, Mr. JT, and
Your mouse quit working.
My mouse quit working. So I'm going to go here, but I want to, throw him in real fast here because here we go. the ball is real small right now. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah, we're starting with the goat.
Go ahead, ask your question because I've got so much I'm thinking about too.
We were talking earlier, and I told Jason one of our biggest problems when we do read scripture is we don't define the words we read.
Right.
So I asked this question last night. We were talking a little bit. What is freedom? What's Paul talking about when he says freedom, that Christ made us free? It says for freedom, Christ made us free.
Right.
Now, there's a lot we could go into there. There's a lot of things he didn't say he did it for that right. People keep saying he did it for, but it's not in Scripture. And this is. So what in Galatians there, if it's for freedom that Christ set us free, if we don't know what freedom is, we don't have much understanding of this verse.
We don't have much understanding of the verse. You're right. The freedom by which he set us free. Why did he set us free? I'm just going to tell you. And I'm not talking about the United States here.
No.
I'm not talking about Israel. I'm not talking about a part of the world that we're in or any political game or anything like that. I'm talking about your soul. I'm talking about the very thing that connects you to God as one. Your spirit that connects you to
that
him.
That
new creature.
That everything is new.
He liberated you.
And it says it right here in this verse.
From the what?
It says you're no longer bound
by the yoke.
By the flesh.
Yeah, by the flesh. Which verse is it?
Galatians 5:1.
Yeah, he made you free. Not to be entangled again with what? It is literally the yoke of what? The bondage. Well, what are we always in bondage to in here? Well, we always fight this thing right here.
This flesh can't keep the law.
It can't.
And we keep wanting to keep the law. Because we think God will be happier with us if
we
keep the law.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You have been liberated from the law. You have been liberated from the law, the yoke of bondage, through Jesus Christ. There's always a condition to that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's always not the condition that we think it is. We always think, the condition is I've got to, you know, be pious and straight-laced.
Well, let's jump to Galatians 6:15 here.
Okay.
Because and it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. What we just said. But we read that verse and we say, well, we don't do circumcision in Christian circles. But what we don't realize is saying the law, keeping the law, nor not keeping or not keeping the law, avails anything. The only thing that counts is that we've been made a new creature.
That's right. Well, don't that separate us as a people?
No.
Nope. It didn't matter anymore, right?
Nope.
Why? Because we're not bound to it. You're not bound to it. You're free from it. You've been liberated from it.
I'm free. I'm free from doing anything that I think will make God happy.
That's really good.
Are you bound trying to do things you think will make God happy? Because if it's work, if it's bondage, you're trying to keep laws, which is what law is. Law is anything you think you can do to make God pleased or happy with you. Because what God says is, I made you a new creature. What I did for you.
I think a lot of people will live underneath the yoke of bondage in fear that because they don't do those things, that they're going to end up, wow.
Light ain't going to strike here.
They're
going to
be smoked by God, you know.
And they
forget.
And when they got saved, they went up on Woodall Mountain, and now they can't see any further because they think it's impossible to get to anywhere else. We all 800 feet above the water.
Oh, I made it to this point, God. What else is there for me to do?
If I could just keep these commandments, I could. Oh, how big of a mountain I could climb!
Well, I'm even going to go even a little further here. Well, commandments like that. My goat's a little delayed here.
Little double goat.
I'm going to say. People get satisfied on what was that mountain's name again?
Woodall.
People get satisfied on Woodall Mountain when they get a taste of grace. And they don't ever want to leave that taste of grace there. And they don't realize there's a foundation there on Mount Woodall that goes way.
If we go down through a few more valleys, guess what? There's smoky mountains over there. And that's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning of what you can know. And I think we get pharisaical. We think, even on the grace side of things sometimes.
Oh,
yeah. We get pharisaical. We get all these things start happening to us. And we start realizing, oh, man, you know, I know this better than anybody else now. Look what I've learned. I didn't go through that, JT. I don't know what anybody's talking about.
Well, grace becomes an idol to us.
I think so. I think it becomes an idol, yes.
We start seeking grace rather than seeking Jesus.
That is so good.
We have all the grace we need. So we can seek Jesus.
That's exactly right. It's already there. That's what I'm saying. It's the very thing. The cross liberated you from that. So you could understand that, but also understand the deep things of God.
I already have the grace for when this flesh trips me up tomorrow.
That's exactly right.
I don't have to worry about
that. Yes, that's exactly right.
There might be some consequences to what the flesh does, but I'm not going to let it draw my attention from what's important.
No, you're not. Do you know? There we go again. Yeah.
I can sit here, and I've heard people say this over and over again. Well, if they knew what you did, how you got tripped up, they won't come to Christ. Me looking perfect on the outside is not the thing that will draw people to Christ.
It's not.
Me being flawed on the outside, weak, destitute on this outside, with the grace of God on the inside, with the life of Jesus on the inside, who I really am, that will draw people to him.
Exactly. Because all of a sudden this guy who has lived, he's gone through stuff, he's struggled, all of a sudden, we have gone through some junk in our lives. And we go through the junk to help us realize that there is truth that's settled in because of those things. And people are drawn to the fact that, you did that and you still love God the way you love God. He still loves you the way he loves you.
Yep, because that's been there all the time. It didn't change.
That's exactly right.
And when people see God loving us in the midst of our worst day, that attracts people.
It attracts people.
Because guess what that is? That's where Jesus said if he be lifted up, he would draw.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm trying to look good for God or look good for Jesus, I'm lifting me up.
That's right.
Trying to draw people.
It's very good.
And it don't work.
It doesn't work.
No. We might draw them to a religion. We ain't drawing them to Christ.
No, it's right. It doesn't work. There's so much good stuff out there on that. So,
we wear the goat's voice out, though, if we keep going down that road.
We will. There's so much to talk about here. That's why I love Scripture, because, and I'll tell my Sunday school class this all the time. Oh, yeah. By the way, I do teach Sunday school. I know that's a shocker to everybody.
You do what God puts on your heart to do and what he wants done. The works he's prepared in advance. Not works how you made up so that you'd be okay with him.
Right. I tell people, I tell the kids this all the time. Look, the great thing about Scripture is it tells us exactly what we need to know about living life in Christ and who he is. Because it all, and when I say it all points to him, it all points to him.
Yes.
Okay. That's a good segue, because I want to get into a little bit of this idea that we feel like we're in bondage, and all of a sudden we get all encapsulated. We want to go hide. We want to go do these things. We want to get rid of. We want to clean ourselves up. We want to do the work, JT, of trying to do what God has already done.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, I'd say a lot of our friends, I'll say a lot of my friends. I say a lot of my friends. Am I hung up down there on you? I say a lot of my friends are.
Put my foot on your cord.
I was like, man, all of a sudden I'm leaning.
You're being drawn.
What I will say this is a lot of my friends, a lot of your friends, a lot of people we've known in the past, but a lot of people who we don't know are going through the fact that all of a sudden we are wrapped up in this yoke of bondage all of a sudden, and we don't know how to get out of it. And so therefore we tangle our lives up in this yoke of bondage, forgetting who we are.
Exactly. Because it's back to the Woodall Mountain.
We forget.
There's a people there that they stay in there because they got that taste of grace, and I just want to keep tasting this.
Keep tasting this. But they understand.
But then there's the ones that are there that are looking at their body and the shape they're in and thinking, this is the highest mountain I can ever climb.
That's it. I'm telling you, man. It is so real. I mean, man, it's real good. I like that. There's so much there. Let's put this into some perspective. Let's do it biblically. Let's look at it from a scripture perspective.
Yep.
And let's paint a picture here. Okay. Paul talks about all the time. And I say all the time, but if you go to his Romans, and hopefully this will shed some light. Is it 7 that we were talking about earlier?
It's 7? Actually down at the bottom of our dock there.
It is.
7:7.
It's Romans 7:7. Okay. So In this section, if you know anything about Romans 6, 7, and 8, these are all compiled together. And Paul is talking about, in the main, in the heart of Romans 7, the law and sin. All right? He's talking about the law.
Yep.
And
what shall we say then?
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? And we've talked about this on past podcasts, but I don't think we've ever had, I think, just the rich. This is so rich, y'all. I'm setting him up over here in a big way. But it's really rich because I think Scripture does a great job of interpreting itself with Scripture.
Yes, it does.
And Old Testament.
That's why it's important to know a lot of Scripture.
That's right.
Because people pull one verse out here and there all the time.
I think one of the greatest things I've ever learned in about studying Scripture was the fact that when I study Scripture and I read it, there is an Old Testament portion that reflects back to the New Testament.
Yeah.
There's a New Testament that reflects back to the Old Testament. It does a great job of intertwining itself together to show you exactly who Jesus is and exactly what God has done for us and exactly how this type of relationship is possible.
And it's the law that points to Christ.
Yeah, very good.
I mean, I know people that's gotten into grace and think the law shouldn't be in the Bible.
Yeah, antinomianism. Yes. But
I'm glad you knew that because I had no idea what it was called.
Well, that's my edumacation coming in. A little bit of edumacation, that is. All right, well, let's just do this.
We're fixing to go out on a limb here, I think.
JT, we've been walking on limbs for most of our lives here.
Yeah.
And let's just look at this in a perspective of Adam and Eve. Let's go back to the very first part of the Bible here in Genesis. And in the story of Adam and Eve is a reflective story of all of us throughout the generations.
If
that was the only story in the Scripture, it's all you would need.
It tells the whole story of redemption.
Yes.
Of grace.
It's all you would need. I'm just telling
you. Of sacrifice. Of shedding of blood. Of the cross. In a couple of chapters. It covers everything.
It covers everything. It is like mind-blowingly ridiculous how well God puts that together. Okay. And so.
Read Romans 7, what we got here.
Romans 7?
The 7:7 and all in there.
It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. And I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me.
And so you ask, what does that have to do with Adam and Eve? See, there's always been a question here. When was Paul alive without the law?
Never.
And the answer is just like he's in Christ at this point, once he was in Adam.
That's right.
And Adam was alive without the law. By one man, sin entered into the world. And all became sinners.
And all became
because sinners. We were all in Adam.
That's right.
So, Paul is basically describing what happened in the Garden of Eden here when the serpent came and tempted and lied.
So good. Oh, it's so good to give me chills.
Because we ask, is the law sin? Is the tree in the garden of knowledge of good and evil sin? No, the tree was a tree. It was what it was.
It wasn't sin.
And it had the ability to give knowledge of good and evil if you ate the fruit.
That's right.
But sin taking the opportunity by the commandment. See, God put a commandment in place there.
He did.
He made a law about that tree and said you can't eat of it because when you do, you will die. Or he just stated a fact about what he had created there.
Exactly right.
Now, I don't believe Eve had any clue what death was, especially not spiritual death. Because they didn't have any clue about spiritual as opposed to physical. And I don't think they had any clue about physical death.
Man, she woke up a woman.
Hadn't had any kids, hadn't seen any family members die. I don't even know if she'd even seen any animals die. Probably not.
I mean,
because they were vegetarians at that point.
I mean, holy cow, man.
She didn't have any knowledge of good and evil. That's
exactly right, yeah.
So her concept was,
this is all I know.
This right. is all I know.
Yeah.
And then along comes a serpent. And starts telling her, you know, God knows that if you eat of that tree, you will have the knowledge of good and evil and be like God. And this is what law does to you. Because she even said, we're not even supposed to touch it. We start piling on. It's just like they piled onto the tablets that Moses brought down. And it went from 200 rules to 800, I think it was. Something like that. But see, she'd added on to what God said.
Here's what God said. And this is just the interpretation from Genesis 3:1.
Yeah.
It says, now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of any field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has indeed God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Right? What's her answer? And she said in response to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but not of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
Oop. Added to there. It's funny this tree's in the middle of the garden, too. The most prominent spot where you got to pass it all the time. But anyway.
It's crazy. All right, so what does he say in response to her? You will not die.
That's the only lie he told her. Out of all he said, that was the only lie.
Because God said something different, didn't he?
Yeah.
You will.
You will die.
Surely die. How did he know that?
And he wasn't talking physical, and we see that later on in what he says about putting him out of the garden.
Right.
He was talking spiritual, and they had no idea what he was talking about.
No clue.
But he told them and made a commandment. And she's obviously been thinking about this because she told the serpent, oh, we can't touch it.
We can't touch it, yeah.
She decided, we can't touch it. But we keep on going there. She was without sin there.
She was
without law.
Exactly.
But the commandment came. Sin came to life. And by the commandment, it deceived her. And she ate of the tree, which was when the law came.
That's exactly right. Powerful. That's really good, yeah.
Tree was nothing bad or good about it. It was just a tree that could give you knowledge. And God says that later on, that, yeah, they have got knowledge of good and evil now. But I'm going to say this.
Go for it. Oh, here we go.
Ah!
Double goat.
Where have you heard this before? If you eat of that tree, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil, and you'll be like God. Mm. We always hear that in sermons, but I've heard it said in a different way. I've heard the New Testament version of that.
Okay, let's have it. It's good.
If you do all these things and keep God's commandments and read your Bible every day and pray every day, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil, and you'll be more like Jesus. And you'll be wise.
You'll be able to tell what the schemes of the devil are.
That makes me sad.
It does.
Because the cross made me like Jesus.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Nothing I do. The scriptures so I can know him.
That's right.
And have intimate relationship.
That's right.
And not be satisfied with Woodall Mountain. Do you understand good things don't make you more like God? Christ made you like himself.
That's right. That's right.
So that he could have, just like Adam and Eve, Adam called all the animals to him, but none were found that were like him, that would be a good companion.
Right.
So God put him to sleep and took a rib, took a very part of himself, mm-hmm. and made the bride.
Yes. Exactly what God did. Yeah.
I no longer have a desire to live as a servant. I want to be that bride.
Right.
With that relationship. And that's why we do this podcast.
That's exactly why we do this podcast.
Because there's mountains in this relationship that put Everest to shame.
That's good. Don't get caught up in the other stuff.
And don't hear us saying, yeah. Doing these things are bad. No?
Right. That's not what we're saying. No.
Good things just don't make you like God.
That's exactly right.
The cross makes you like God.
Chanting towards the sun doesn't make you like God.
No. Doing good to other people doesn't make you like God.
I mean, digging ditches doesn't make you like God.
Yeah. It's neither being building, circumcised or not being circumcised.
It's not about the things you do. It's about who he is in you and the reflection of those things that come out. It's not about what you do.
You want him made manifest, that's not exactly your good works.
See what I did? I went overseas. Guys, you know what I did? I went overseas. I went to Mexico, and I dug one of the largest ditches I've ever been in my life. And they kept telling us about this little bug that would come out and sting us if we weren't careful, and it could kill us. And we did those things. True story, by the way.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do. I could care less. It was great. We had a great time. It was fun. But if it's not out of him.
Right. Because that's
freedom, people.
You're free to be who he's already made
you. That's right. He's created you.
And those things will come out. Or you can go out there and try to make them happen.
Right.
And it's just this old flesh. What was it? A.W. Tozer said that the flesh is just as happy in a Bible study as it is in a bar.
Ooh, absolutely.
It can live on either one.
It can live on either one.
As long as it's the one doing the work.
That's right. It's good. That's real good, actually.
Because, see, we have everything. We're already at the tops of all of those mountains.
It's already there.
It's just believing it we are.
It's true. Christ is true of you.
And then God slowly lifts that veil from our eyes so that we can see what we already are and where we already are. Shoot, it says we're seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus.
That's exactly right.
That's not a down the road statement. That is a
now.
Now, this very second statement. Do I see that with these eyes? No. Because all these eyes can see is what's temporal. I can't see the eternal things are invisible.
JT, are you telling me right now that bad stuff is still going to happen? I mean, we're still going to struggle. We're still going to fight. None of that has anything.
But that's where others see Christ made manifest.
That's exactly right.
That's the cross we take up and bear. Is this flesh?
Is this flesh?
We take it up, and we face what this flesh brings us every day. And other people see Christ and what He's made us on the inside.
That's exactly right.
And no amount of work will do that.
None.
The only place I know that it says work. Let's see. It says work to show yourself approved. That would be believing what the scripture says that you're approved.
Yes.
It says it work to enter into this rest.
Labor, it says.
Right. Hard work.
Labor.
To enter into the rest. Not to earn the rest.
Right.
And the labor there is believing.
Believing, yeah.
That you rest, that you can rest.
Really good. Huh? Yeah, man. Yeah. Love scripture. And I love this podcast. I know that we've had our times where we have been years without doing the podcast.
It'd been 3 years since when we started two back. And we only did like two during that time period. One of those was with John Lynch.
Yeah, and
hopefully we'll get John back again.
We'll do that again, hopefully. I just think, and the reason I love it is because we get to share. Now it's become more of a burden in the sense, and this is a good burden, by the way. When I talk about burdens, I'm not in bondage to it.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
We don't know how many we're going to do before we quit again.
But the burden is this, though. The burden is for people to know and understand God.
Yeah.
It's to.
And we're not talking about facts about God.
No, the knowing.
I want you to know.
The thing that makes you
that
alive.
That intimacy.
Yes. The thing that's joined you and connected you to Him.
I remember going and seeing a man, and the guy's name was Norman Grubb. Mm-hmm. And we managed to hook up with the place he was staying, and got to go sit and talk with him. He was 95 years old, mind sharp as a tack, sharper than mine. And God used that because what I saw was that it was possible to know God in an intimate way like only I had imagined. And it wasn't about all the good works he's doing.
Right.
It was about the presence of God. God was manifesting Himself through that guy. He couldn't walk. He had to sit there in a chair. But I remember him. We asked him, the first time we just went and talked for a little while with him, we asked him, could we come back and would he teach a Bible study? Now, he's 95 years old. We go back and get there probably about 7 o'clock at night. He sits there for 2 hours. He starts in Genesis. He goes all the way through to Revelation, quoting scripture, talking about stuff. He never picked up his Bible. And I've told this before, when he got to the cross, it was not somebody telling a story he read. it was somebody there.
Yeah.
Telling me about what he was seeing. And I knew that what I wanted was possible.
Right. Yeah. Very good, man. Well.
Well, we've had the coffee. We've got the caffeine.
Oh, my watch is trying to tell me to stand. Heck with this watch.
Oh.
Stand ye therefore in the liberty in which Christ has made me free. Anyway, that's good, man. Golly, JT. All right, we're going to stop there. And the reason we're going to stop there is there's so much more to go through.
Oh, we could go on for hours with this stuff. But looking at that story in Genesis.
Oh, excuse me.
And when I realized I've heard this before in New Testament terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good, man. It's really
good.
That
tree is the law.
Oof.
And the law came when they ate the fruit.
Yep.
And they knew sin then. They knew the difference between good and evil.
Do us a favor. Tell us something that you have learned tonight that was good, that you've taken, and that you can just open up your Bible maybe and just start reading. And or start
if that's what God puts
in your heart. If it's going to, if you went to God and just said, "Man, just show me who you are," I want to know that too, man. Like, yeah, that stuff like that fires me up.
It was the purpose of the cross,
that's right,
that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Which is life is knowing Him in an intimate
way. That's right. Knowing that God loves you just as He loves His Son Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you know that? I love that.
If God ultimately loves you with greater love than you can imagine, that doesn't mean He's going to be way off out yonder somewhere.
That's right. He's walking through the junk with you.
He's God with us, in us, a very part of us.
That's so good. Man, thank you. I love this.
Oh, it's been fun.
I'm glad we got to do it here at the old Casa de Goodson, too.
Oh, the jambalaya.
That was so good.
Anyway, usually we just eat cookies. We ate cookies still.
But we had a meal tonight.
We started with some jambalaya and some sweet tea and cornbread.
And cornbread was fine, too, man. It was good.
You got something left for tomorrow?
Oh, don't worry.
You can go make all the teachers at Quitman Middle School jealous.
They're going to be, they're going to know the difference between how I eat and how they eat. That's for sure. They already see the difference. They're just going to know it now. All right. Hey, we're going to try to be back in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And guess what? We're only 3 weeks from teachers actually showing up to school now. We're that close. And then the 13th of August first day of school.
What's today? Let me look at a calendar here.
It's the 10th.
Our next one would be the 24th.
Yes, 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be gone that next one.
Okay.
So.
We'll get it in. We'll work it in.
Anyway, I think I'm going to be gone if I can get the gas money together.
Well, I understand. Totally. All right, till next time. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Y'all take care. Appreciate you watching or listening.
Yes.
Whichever one it might be.
Like, share. Tell people about it. Leave us a comment. You know, whatever format it is. Facebook is the main one that we use. But go out there. Go to YouTube and subscribe. Ring the bell. Get notifications. Do all those things. Help us out so we can get the message out.
There it goes. I heard it beep. And let's see here. We're going to stop this